WKJAN Sports.
And it is time for a check of sports. Good morning once again. I'm Rick Henson. Well, let's take a look back now at high school football scores from our football Friday night here in the Neshoba Valley. In Class 3A, it was Winterset beating Atlantic 24-7. Carroll was a 35-6 winner over ADM. Also in 3A, Creston beat Denison Schleswig 42-7. And Glenwood was a 49-41 winner over Harlan. In 2A, it was Underwood beating East Sac County 27-7. South Central Calhoun was a 64-22 winner over Shenandoah. Also in 2A, Kemper Catholic down Clarinda 49-8. And Southeast Valley got by Red Oak 34-31. In Class 1A football, Missouri Valley was a 51-14 winner over Trainer. Logan Magnolia nearly doubled up on IKM 14-8. It was AHSTW over Adair Casey Guthrie Center 55-0. And Tri-Center beating Oldboard Arthur BCIG 17-14. In Class A football action, Nottoway Valley was a 28-13 winner over Riverside. Southwest Valley beat Griswold 49-20. Earlham was a 45-14 winner over Martinsdale St. Mary's. And St. Albert beat Southeast Warren 55-7. Eight-man football in District 6, it was Bedford with a 78-34 victory over Lamoni. East Union, Blank Mormon Trail 74-0. Lennox was a 36-6 winner over Murray. Also in District 6 of Class 8, it was Stanton beating Wayne 52-22. District 7 and 8-man football saw Cam with a 48-42 win over East Mills. Clarinda Academy beating Woodbine 66-58. Exira EHK blew past Essex 60-6. And it was Fremont Mills over Sydney 47-10. In District 8, 8-man football, it was Coon Rapids Bayard with a 32-26 win over Arweva. Audubon handily getting past Wes Harrison, 53-6. Charter Oak Ute beat Boyer Valley, 29-12, and it was Glidden Ralston over River Valley by a score of 60-22. Well, 13th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes will close out non-conference play today by hosting FCS top-ranked North Dakota State. The Bison have won 5 straight national titles, and Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says they feature a Big Ten style of play.
They play with a fullback. They play with tight ends, multiple tight ends. They'll run the ball, throw it. They're very versatile and multiple. But they're going to block you. They're going to come out and block you. And if you try to block them, they play blocks. They're not running around trying to slip people or finesse and that type of thing. That's just not their style.
Ferentz says while the players have changed over the years at North Dakota State, the level of play has not.
And they're just really well coached. They play hard, play very aggressively, very confidently. And, faces are a lot different, but, boy, they just keep playing well. And the belief that their team has, their players have, is really evident.
Ferentz said the Bison offer a different challenge for the Hawkeyes this week.
It's a little change up from what we've faced the last 2 weeks. So it's another kind of challenge for you. And no different than if you play a team like this and then switch to a tempo team or whatever. So it's a new kind of preparation.
A reminder, you can hear that game on KJAN today. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 9 o'clock. Kickoff from Kinnick Stadium is at 11. Iowa State Cyclones take an 0-2 record on the road today in their Big 12 opener at TCU.
Obviously, we know we haven't got off to the start we wanted to, but it counts, and it's a conference football game. We get to go on the road. 11 o'clock football game, and we got to go play. And so, to me, as much as anything of who we play, I think of right now it's more of us and worrying about that and excited that we get a chance to get into conference play and see where we're at.
That's Iowa State coach Matt Campbell. The Cyclone defense will try to control TCU's up-tempo offense, led by quarterback Kenny Hill.
They play at a really high rate. He's got the ability to make all the throws across the field, and he's just dangerous enough with his feet to, if you load the box or if you don't account for him in the running game, then he's going to make you pay.
TCU's defense has been vulnerable in a 1-1 start, but Campbell says to be effective, the ISU offense must limit mistakes.
You know, from our standpoint, I think as much as we have to worry about TCU, we got to address Iowa State, and we got to address our fundamentals, our details, you know, and we got to take care of what gives us the best opportunities for us to be successful. So, you know, we're certainly game planning against that defense, but I think with a sharp eye on ourselves and what we need to do to continue to get ourselves better and give us the best opportunity to be successful.
The kickoff at M&G Carter Stadium in Fort Worth, Texas, as the coach mentioned, is set for 11 a.m. In the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles is doubtful for tomorrow's game at Houston as he continues to work his way back from surgery last season to repair the torn ACL in his right knee. The Chiefs also will be without their two starting offensive guards against the Texans. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is out with an ankle sprain, and rookie Parker Ehringer is out with a concussion. Charles has been practicing for weeks, but the success of fill-in running back Spencer Ware has given the Chiefs the ability to be patient with him. Ware ran for 70 yards and caught seven passes for 129 yards in last weekend's overtime victory over San Diego. Charles has not played in a game since Week 5 last season. Now you can hear that game on KJAN at around noon tomorrow following our Sunday morning church services. Elsewhere in the NFL, Jaguars running back Chris Ivory will miss his second straight game tomorrow while recovering from what the team is calling a general medical issue. With Ivory out, coach Gus Bradley says T.J. Yeldon will start at San Diego and Denard Robinson will get some carries. A 1,000-yard rusher with the Jets last season, Ivory was hospitalized Sunday and missed the opener against Green Bay. He was released Tuesday and returned to the facility 2 days later. Ivory is expected to return to practice next week. Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Zimmer has yet to reveal his starting quarterback for tomorrow night's game against the Packers, although it is believed he will go with recent acquisition Sam Bradford. The Vikes picked up Bradford from the Eagles just before the season opener following a gruesome knee injury to Teddy Bridgewater. Sean Hill would make his second consecutive start if Bradford doesn't. Zimmer has confirmed that two starters have been ruled out due to knee injuries, defensive tackle Sharif Floyd and cornerback Xavier Rhodes. The New England Patriots are listing tight end Rob Gronkowski as questionable for tomorrow's game against Miami, 1 week after he missed the season opener with a hamstring injury. Newly acquired defensive back Eric Rowe is listed as out due to ankle injury, and linebacker Dante Hightower's sore knee makes him doubtful for the game as well. And Buffalo Bills coach Rex Ryan is changing offensive coordinators, firing Greg Roman and replacing him with running back coach Anthony Lynn. The Bills had 307 yards of total offense in last night's 37-31 loss to the Jets, with 158 of those yards coming on two plays after they managed just 160 against Baltimore last Sunday. Buffalo had just one drive inside the red zone against the Jets and converted only 3 of 10 third down chances. Elsewhere, and finally in the NFL news, the NFL has fined Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald just over $21,000 for his actions that led to his ejection in the team's season opener against the 49ers Monday night. Donald was docked more than $12,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct and just over $9,100 for unnecessary roughness after he was called for 15-yard penalties. One of those infractions was making contact with an official, which resulted in his ejection from the 28-0 loss. Also, Carolina guard Trey Turner was fined $9,115 for taunting Denver's Chris Harris Jr. in the first half of the Panthers' opening loss to the Broncos. In top 25 college football action, the 21st-ranked Baylor Bears are off to a 3-0 for the sixth consecutive season. Seth Russell completed 22 of 38 passes for 337 yards and three touchdowns as the Bears whipped Rice 38-10. Russell's primary target was K.D. Cannon, who had nine receptions for 213 yards and two scores. Baylor never trailed after Jamichael Hasty scored on a 16-yard run early in the second quarter. That's a look at sports for this hour on KJAN, brought to you by Insurance Services in Elkhorn. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.